Welcome to First Baptist and happy Easter. My name's Jeremy and I'm one of the pastors here and just glad that you've joined us today. It's fun to see your smiling faces and everyone in ties and dressed up. It's a great day. My family and I, we have been looking forward to Easter for several weeks. We've been excited for Easter to come. It really is a day of celebration. This week, my daughter Emma, everyone she could, she would tell them how excited she was for the next church day because it was Easter. And on Tuesday, she was telling somebody this, and I asked her, Emma, why? Why are you so excited for Easter? And I was really hoping to hear the right answer, and she came and she said, because we get to look for Easter eggs. And the person we were talking with said, oh, you thought she was going to give you the right answer. Fortunately, the children's ministry here has done a good job, and she has this beautiful little craft of a tomb. And so she was able to use a visual aid, and she took it off the bookshelf and was able to tell the story about the stone being rolled away, the angel sitting on the stone, and Jesus being alive. And so our family's been looking forward to this. We're excited for it to be Easter. Easter really is a day of celebration. And that's why we've gathered, and we're here to celebrate. Some of you, maybe like our family, have been preparing your hearts. You've been looking forward to this day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We're glad that you've joined us. Others of you maybe feel like you kind of stumbled in here. Maybe you haven't been to church, maybe even weeks, months, years, and you're here. And I'll say, whether you've been preparing for weeks or whether this is your first time in several weeks, we're glad you're here. And we can celebrate together, and we're excited you're here. Others of you are guests, maybe with family, and we love to see family come and join us. Maybe family even that drug you here, but we're just excited to be here. It's a great morning. But regardless of how you walk through the doors today is a day of celebration, and we all need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded of why we gather on Easter to celebrate Christ's resurrection. Because it is a celebration, and we know how to celebrate. We've been created to celebrate things. It's part of who we are. And we celebrate many things in life, and we know how to do it well. We celebrate things like high school graduations. We celebrate when our team wins the championship. We celebrate when children are born. Even at funerals, sometimes we celebrate a life lived well. We know how to celebrate. It's been ingrained in us. We were created to celebrate. And when we gather on Easter, it is a day of celebration. And my hope more than anything this morning is that we leave remembering Christ's resurrection and wanting to celebrate. Sometimes through deep pain, sometimes hard things are happening in life. It doesn't need to be fake. It doesn't need to be a facade, even in those moments, to celebrate Christ's resurrection. Even this morning, as I was preparing to come here, thinking about what I was going to preach on, I was reminded of the need to celebrate today because we attempted to get a picture with all four of our children smiling at the same time. We have 50 pictures in my phone. Not one of them has all four of them smiling. And I was reminded of why we celebrate Easter. And it isn't about the pictures or getting dressed up or any of the other things. It is about Christ's resurrection. And so I'm glad we're here together to celebrate. And so the sermon this morning is going to be very simple and straightforward. It is just five reasons we celebrate on Easter. Five reasons we celebrate on Easter from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Five reasons we celebrate on Easter. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open it. 1 Corinthians 15. If you don't have a Bible with you, there is one in the back of the pew in front of you. We love to have God's Word in our hands, so I'd encourage you to grab one if it's there. Otherwise, it will appear on the screen as well. So 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11, and I'll read it for us right now. It says this, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he has appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at this one time, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is God's word. So again, it's going to be pretty straightforward. Five reasons we celebrate on Easter. It's important to note that within this text alone, there are way more than just five reasons we celebrate on Easter. We're going to look at five. And if you read through the scriptures, there is an abundance of reasons we celebrate today. We'll look at five. So five reasons we celebrate. The first is that we are saved through the gospel. We celebrate on Easter because we are saved through the gospel. Paul here, as he's writing this letter in our passage, he begins by saying, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you." Sometimes we need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to be reminded of things that we believe that are true, that are good. And Paul here says, I want to remind you of the gospel that you've believed. One of the reasons we gather together as God's people each week is to remind one another, to open God's word, to sing songs of worship, to be reminded. We never stop needing to be reminded of the gospel. And so Paul here, he says, I want to remind you of this gospel which you believed. One of the reasons we gather on Easter is to remember, to be reminded of the resurrection of Jesus. We want to be reminded. And so Paul here, he says, I want to remind you of the gospel. Today, my hope is that we would be reminded of the good news of Jesus' resurrection. He tells them he wants to remind them of the gospel, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. We're going to key on that phrase, being saved. This is one of the reasons we celebrate today, is that we are saved through the gospel. When we read something about being saved, naturally we want to ask, well, what danger was I in? Right? If we're saved from something, there's some danger that we needed to be in. So what danger were we in that we needed to be saved from? Salvation doesn't come unless there's something to be saved from. And what we read in the scriptures in Romans 3:23 is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I met with a couple guys this week, and we even pulled out this passage, and we were reminded that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They were quick to admit, yeah, I'm part of that too. And we all must acknowledge that we're part of that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is part of the danger we're in. This is part of the bad news. And it goes even further. Romans 6:23 adds to this and says what the consequence of that sin is. It says, for the wages of sin is death. What we've earned for that sin, which we've all participated in, is death. So what danger are we in? The danger is death. Death itself. Separation from God. And we are saved from that. And we hear it often. We hear it often, but we need to be reminded often that we are saved. Paul here, he says, I would remind you, I want to remind you of the gospel through which you are saved. Now, here's a picture of this. Imagine that you are drowning in the ocean. You're in the ocean, cold and wet, and you are in danger, right? You need to be saved. This week, my son and I, we were at the library with my wife and family. We got a couple books about the Titanic, and he's learned about what it means to be in water, right? It's a perilous thought. It's dangerous to be in the water. And in that moment, if we see a boat coming on the horizon, right, and we scream for help, save me, save me. And when that boat approaches, what do we want in that moment? And we might be tired, but in that moment, what we need is not a pillow. We don't need a bed, right? We might be cold, but in that moment, what we need is not a blanket. We might even be hungry. I don't need a sandwich when I'm drowning in the ocean. What I want more than anything is for someone to throw me that life preserver. I want to be tossed the life preserver so that I can be saved from the danger I'm in. We cannot forget how crucial it is that on Easter we celebrate that we are saved. And this picture I just gave, I think it's even a little generous about our true condition. Because what do the scriptures say we were before Christ? We were dead in the trespasses in which we walked, right? We were dead in our sin. So less like we're screaming on the top of the ocean and more like we're at the bottom of the ocean. And God reaches in to bring us to new life. In fact, when we get baptized, this is the picture we have, right? We die with Christ under the water, raised to new life with him. So at Easter, we celebrate because we are saved through the gospel. The final thing Paul says in this portion of this passage, he wants them to hold fast to the word that was preached, unless you believed in vain, he says. This is just a good reminder for each of us to hold fast to the gospel, to hold fast to his word, to not deceive ourselves, into thinking that anything other than the gospel is going to save us. Not even showing up to church, not doing good things, not helping our neighbor. Those things are good. Those things come in response to being saved by the gospel. So we celebrate at Easter because we are saved in the gospel. The second reason that we celebrate at Easter is that Jesus died for our sins and was raised on the third day. Verses 3 and 4 say that, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Paul here says that Christ died for our sins, and he did so in accordance with the Scriptures. There are many portions of Scripture, of the Scriptures, that point toward Christ's death for us. Predictions and foreshadowings of the death that Christ would die. None more vivid than Isaiah 53. So we're going to read Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 9. Here are the scriptures foretelling that Christ would die. Christ died in accordance with the scriptures. It says this, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he has done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth." The scriptures foretold of Christ's death. We celebrate at Easter because he did go to the cross in accordance with the scriptures. But he didn't just die. We celebrate on Easter because he rose again. He has risen. Well, that's good. I didn't even intend for you to do that, but that was perfect. Timely. In a moment, I'll ask you to do it as well. So, but yes, he's risen. Right, we celebrate on Easter because he's risen. The reason we meet on Sundays is because he rose on a Sunday. He has risen. Good. I didn't grow up in a church saying that. My church didn't do that. So the first time I went to a church, when people started greeting each other, he has risen indeed, I was like, what's going on right now? I was so confused. And actually, I do want to talk about that greeting. That greeting is an important thing. We do this on Easter to remind one another that he has risen. We see this exact phrase in Luke 24. It says, "He has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." It's where we get this phrase from, because Christ has risen. And what's important for us is that these things we do often don't become empty traditions. They don't just become something we say. We want to say it heartily. We want to say it with gusto, because he has risen. It's a reason to celebrate. But let us not let it become an empty tradition. When we say he has risen, let's remind ourselves that we celebrate on Easter because he truly has. He truly has risen. And so he has risen. We'll practice one more time, right? I'm going to say it, you respond. He has risen.
He has risen.
Amen. That's right. So that's one of the reasons we celebrate. The third reason we celebrate, Jesus appeared to many. In verses 5 through 8, it says that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. We celebrated Easter because not only did Jesus rise from the dead, but he confirmed his resurrection by appearing to many. We don't have to wonder whether he actually rose from the dead. We have eyewitness account that he did. It isn't just a story. There are many who report that they saw Jesus raised from the dead. They saw him alive after his death and resurrection. Here, listed are Cephas, who is Peter. This is another name for Peter, the apostle. Then to the 12, he appeared to more than 500, to James, to all the apostles, and last of all, Paul mentions himself. But there's also more we see in the scriptures. In John 20, we see him appear to Mary Magdalene. Matthew 28, we see him appear to Mary, the mother of Jesus, Salome, and Joanna. In Luke 24, he appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus appears to many. It's purposeful that he does. On Easter, we celebrate his resurrection, and we also celebrate that he confirms his resurrection by appearing to many. His appearance after his resurrection is one of the reasons we can trust in the historical validity of his resurrection. It is one of the kind of historical events that confuses people because there is so much evidence to his resurrection, and yet people just, they can't get their minds around it. It's hard to even admit. Paul here, he includes this section to confirm to his readers that Christ really did raise from the dead. This wasn't just a story. This isn't just an untrue myth. It really happened. Jesus really rose from the dead. And so why do we trust in the resurrection when it's such an amazing claim? I mean, it defies all natural laws of observation. Some secular scholars, they won't even validate research into whether it's a true historical claim because it just breaks any conception of what they think is true in reality. But yet, we see all of these historical appearances. Paul even here, he mentions that some of them, they're still alive. Some have died, but some are alive. You can go talk to them. He says, hey, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, some of them, they're alive. Go ask them. Go ask them for yourself. They will give you their eyewitness testimony. They really did see him. I'm not making this up. He really rose from the dead. This is real. And Paul goes on to talk about the fact that we can also be raised from the dead with him, that we have resurrection to new life because Christ was raised from the dead. And so he mentions these many people who he appeared to. And he says, go question them. Go ask them. Go get your own account if you want to. For most any historical event, if the testimony is strong enough and voiced by credible witnesses whose lives were changed by that event, we would acknowledge that event is historically credible. For any other historical event, these things would be significantly confirming of the validity of that event. And so we celebrated Easter because Jesus, he rose from the dead and he confirmed his resurrection by appearing to many. One person said this of the resurrection, I always say to my skeptical secular friends that even if they can't believe in the resurrection, they should want it to be true. Most of them care deeply about justice for the poor, alleviating hunger and disease, and caring for the environment. Yet many of them believe that the material world was caused by accident and that the world and everything in it will eventually simply burn up in death, in the death of the sun. They find it discouraging that so few people care about justice without realizing that their own worldview undermines any motivation to make the world a better place. Why sacrifice for the needs of others if in the end nothing we do will make any difference? If the resurrection of Jesus happened, however, that means there's infinite hope and reason to pour ourselves out for the needs of the world. We celebrate at Easter because the resurrection happened. It is true. And Jesus confirmed it by appearing to many. The fourth reason we celebrate at Easter is that by grace, we are made new. Paul says this in verses 9 and 10, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain." Paul here, he describes himself as the least of the apostles. And he does so really probably for two reasons. One, he says he's an apostle who is untimely born, because he didn't actually get to meet Jesus at his resurrection. He meets him years later on the road to Damascus. Jesus appears to him, but not in the same way he did to the other apostles and the other disciples. Paul is saying, I didn't get to meet Jesus when he was here. I didn't get to experience that. I was one untimely born, as he describes himself. And he says he's the least of the apostles because if we know the story of Paul, he also persecuted the church of God. He persecuted those who followed Jesus. He killed those who followed Jesus. He says, I'm the least of the apostles. This is my background. This is my history. Jesus, even when he confronts Paul on the road to Damascus, he asks him, "Why are you persecuting me?" Jesus says, you aren't just persecuting them, you're persecuting me. Paul, he lived with this throughout his life. And you can see in his letters as he writes the weight he felt in that. Jesus, he offers Paul new life and a new way. And Paul, eventually, he became the great missionary to the Gentiles. By God's grace, we are made new. We celebrated Easter because we are made new by God's grace. Paul says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." He says this because he knows that in his own life, it's only by God's grace that he's been made new. He certainly didn't earn it. He certainly didn't deserve it. He didn't fix himself. God changed him. And he knows that it's by God's grace that he's changed. And we will want to do everything we can to fix our problem. We'll want to do everything we can to fix our problems. The Bible, it uses a lot of different imagery and language to talk about the problem we have. In Colossians, it uses this phrase, debt. It says that we have a record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. It says that God set it aside, nailing it to the cross in Jesus. And see, we all have this record of debt that stands against us with its legal demands. I recently read this story about a man who had a $100 million water bill. $100 million water bill. His name's Kieran Healy of Raleigh, North Carolina. He received a notification of his upcoming water bill, which at first appeared normal with $189.92 charge, which I still think is a lot. But then he saw the additional service charge, which tacked on an additional $99,999,999 to the bill. Confident that he hadn't used that much water the previous month, Healy jokingly asked his water provider on Twitter if he could make installment payments on the balance. The company issued a hurried apology, citing an error in the software of a third-party company that helped send out payment reminders. Right, $100 million water bill, it's outside of our scope of reality. It has to be an error. It must be a joke. But the record of debt that stands against us is insurmountable. It isn't a joke. It's still hard to grasp, but it isn't a joke. It's real. And Paul was intimately familiar with the debt that stood against him. And so he says, "It is by grace that I am what I am." We celebrated Easter because it's by grace that we are brought to new life. And what this means is this means us as well. This means you. Paul, he was a pretty bad dude. I've talked with people who have a very difficult time trusting in the grace of God. A very difficult time. I've talked with many people who walk through their whole life torn up about trusting in the grace of God. And they just cannot believe it's for them. And they think they've done too many bad things. They think they've made too many mistakes. They think they've gone down too many wrong paths. I've talked with people weeks before they're even dying, reminding them, no, God's grace is for you. It is for you. And they have such a hard time. Paul, he's a pretty bad dude, right? Most people I've met do not have the record that Paul has. Most people I've met have not gone around murdering Christians. It's not often the record that most people have, and they have a difficult time embracing God's grace. But I'll say, it's for you. Whatever your record is, whatever the record of debt that stands against you, whatever things you're putting into your debt column, into the list that you remind yourself in your mind, God's grace is for you. God took that debt, he sets it aside, nailing it to the cross. It is by grace that we have new life. We celebrate on Easter because by grace we have new life. And the fifth reason we celebrate on Easter is that by grace we believe and live. Paul goes on, he talked about how he does not work in vain, he was not saved in vain. He says, on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Paul, he had just got done telling them that he was the least of the apostles, and he says, but I was not saved in vain. I worked harder than any of them. He was motivated. He knew the grace of God, and he wanted to work diligently. He wanted to work hard for the work that God had put before him. But he quickly adds, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. See, we are saved by grace, and then we believe and live by grace. Grace doesn't just end at the cross. Grace doesn't just end at the resurrection. Grace doesn't end when we're saved. Grace continues. We celebrate at Easter because we live by grace. We do God's work by grace. It is all of grace. Inevitably, you will eventually at times want to live your life on your own power, by your own strength. And we all need to be reminded that we started our faith in Jesus by grace. And we walk, we live by that same grace in our faith in Jesus. We celebrated Easter because by grace we believe and live. Easter, it is a celebration. I hope you've been reminded this morning that Easter is a celebration. Today I've given five reasons that we celebrate on Easter. The first is that we are saved through the gospel. The second is that Jesus died for our sins and was raised on the third day. The third, Jesus appeared to many and confirmed his resurrection. The fourth, by grace we are made new. And the fifth, by grace we believe and live. We'll go from here today and we'll have our Easter egg hunts. We'll have our meals, hopefully it's tasty. We'll see our family and our friends and we'll enjoy, we'll have a party. We'll have a merry time together. And in the midst of all of it, I want us all to remember the reason we celebrate today. We celebrate today because Christ has been raised to new life. And with him, we also can be raised to new life. Now at this time, we are gonna have a time of communion. We're going to celebrate right now. We're going to remember what Christ has done right now, and we're going to celebrate his death and his resurrection. And so today, as we come to the Lord's table, we want to remember. There's going to be some ushers that are going to come forward, and they're going to pass out the elements. And as they go by, I'll ask you just to grab them, and I'll come back up and lead us in a time of taking them. Okay, but just on the front end, just know that as we take the bread, we remember Christ's body broken on the cross for us. His body broken on the cross for us. As it says, our debt set aside being nailed to the cross. When we take the bread and the juice, we remember, we celebrate that Christ died for us. As we take the juice, we remember also that his blood was shed for us. And in his blood, we have a new covenant. We have a new relationship to God through Christ and his death. And so this is a reminder that as we do this, this is not a reward for the righteous. Okay, sharing this table is not a reward for the righteous. We don't take the bread or the juice because we've earned it, but actually precisely because we have not. This is a provision for the needy. This is a reminder of our need for Jesus. And so as we take the bread and the juice, we want to know our need, be reminded of our need, and celebrate that Christ met that need. And so, if you know of your need, and in response to that need, you've trusted in Christ, join us today as we take the bread and the juice.